This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hour number three of the G-Bag Nation. Where do you think the Cowboys rank on this list of under 25 talent? They were very, very high on it a year ago. And let's do some Dak Prescott over-unders. The big story that happened yesterday, there was a picture that surfaced, Dak Prescott in a walking boot. And we've been told that, indeed, he's not in a walking boot anymore, according to Todd Archer of ESPN. The source from Brian Broaddus was it was ankle soreness. We also know that Clarence Hill of the Fort Worth Star-Telegram talked with Dak, and Dak said he's great. So, as of now, I don't think anything to worry about. Doesn't seem like there's anything to worry about.
We'll see.
We'll see when we get out there at Oxnard. We'll get eyes, boots on the ground.
Absolutely. If he's out there, and, you know, Eric brought up a very good point, you know, I mean, this is something you just don't kind of wave off or anything like that, and I agree with him. So, if he's out there missing practice or he's not been able to practice all week, you know, heck, it might actually be a pretty good thing because you get, I mean, Trey Lance will get all the reps.
That's what I'm thinking. Yeah. I'm like, I don't really need Dak out there practicing. I don't really care.
Yeah, if Dak's not out there throwing it around, maybe you get a full day of Trey Lance throwing it around.
Yeah.
So, you know, we'll see how it goes. But yeah, if they go out there and he's missing practice and missing time because of soreness of his ankle and all that, then I'll be happy to say, well, yeah, everything they talked about in this boot and all that and not being nervous about it all, it is. It's a bunch of BS and stuff like that. But I kind of feel like I've worked over there for 14 years. The guys and gals I know over there have been pretty reliable to me on this kind of stuff as well.
Yeah, and especially if he's not in the boot anymore.
Yeah,
probably not really a need to be worried. But we'll see.
We'll
moving
see
forward.
We'll see.
Now, Bill Barnwell every year at ESPN, along with Aaron Schatz, ESPN writer. They come out with their ranking the NFL teams under 25 talent. Okay. So the standard is number of starts made by players under 25, number of snaps played by players under 25, the quality of play by those players, value and length of player contracts, draft value added in this past year's draft, expected key starters. And then, of course, they'll factor in significant injuries or suspensions that will affect their availability for the upcoming season. So with what you know about the National Football League and some of these teams and maybe some that have a good amount of young players, who do you think would come in as number one among teams under 25 talent?
The only name that really jumps out to me was the youngest team in football last year, the Green Bay Packers.
The Green Bay Packers, and yes, they were the youngest team in football. They are on this list at number nine. Dang. Last year, they were 17th, so they have moved up considerably. Their blue-chip player is listed as wide receiver Jaden Reed.
Yeah.
Now, they don't have Jordan Love, Christian Watson, or their offensive tackle Zach Tom in this anymore. They have graduated. So that's probably why they're
not. I'm going to give you one.
Yeah.
Houston Texans.
Ooh.
Texans are number one.
Yeah, it's good.
Texans have C.J. Stroud, yeah. Will Anderson Jr., Derek Stingley.
They had a lot of draft picks. That's why I did this one.
Absolutely. Yeah. Tank Dell.
Yeah.
One of those. And then, of course, who they just drafted this year, John Mechie's one of those guys. Blake Fisher, who's a right tackle at Notre Dame, we liked quite a bit, yeah. Brian. Mm-hmm. He's going to be part of that group. So, yeah, the Texans come in at number one among the most talent that is under 25, followed by, it is an NFC team.
Chicago.
Chicago. Not Chicago. Bears are five.
Seattle?
Not Seattle. This team was in the playoffs last year.
I knew Snyder was trying to revamp his whole...
Seattle's 10. Seattle's a top 10 lineup.
Yeah.
Devin Witherspoon, Charles Cross.
Carolina.
It's not San Francisco.
No, I wouldn't say
it's a playoff team. Detroit.
Oh, playoff team.
It's Detroit.
Detroit. Okay.
Lions come in at 2. They got Penei Sewell, Aiden Hutchinson, Sam Laporta, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Jahmyr Gibbs, Brian Branch. They just drafted Terrion Arnold. They're loaded with young talent. I could argue the Lions, I mean, it's probably the quarterback puts you over the top at one with C.J. Stroud.
Yeah.
But my goodness, the Lions seem like they're ready to rock. And how about the Ravens being at 3 with Kyle Hamilton, Zay Flowers, Tyler Linderbaum? And then they just drafted Nate Wiggins, Roger Rosengarten, the Washington tackle that you liked quite a bit, Brian.
Yep.
Tight end Isaiah Likely, who I think is ready to break out at any minute. Atlanta's at 4, and then the Bears rounding out your top 5. Now, knowing that, we've pretty much given you the top 10. The Rams are another team in there. The Jags are in there. The Cardinals. Cowboys not listed in the top 10. How low on the list do you think they are?
Man,
16.
All right, last year they were 2 on this list, just to add some perspective.
Oh, okay.
Is Micah older than 25 now?
Yes.
And so is CD.
Micah, CD, Deron Bland, and Jake Ferguson all graduated out of this list.
Jeez, even Ferguson?
Mm-hmm.
I think they could be in the 20s then.
21.
Mm.
Tyler Smith is their only listed blue chip player. Now, this can change if you get a good season from Tyler Guyton. Cooper Beebe wins a starting job. Then you're adding your offensive line, throwing in their under 25. But on defense, DeMarvian Overshown's listed, coming back from injury. Mozzie's 23, but he didn't give you much last year. Damone Clark just turned 24. Is he able to get better with Eric Kendricks? And then they drafted Marshawn Nealand in the second round. So
yeah, that's not really moving the needle.
The Cowboys, you know, were... Go from 2, now you're down to 21. Now we're talking about, okay, these guys are now 26 instead of 25. It's not like you don't have young talent with Micah, CD, Bland, and Ferguson. They are still in the prime of their career, so you shouldn't be really worried about it. But like, as a team builder, is that an issue for you when you're looking at all of a sudden, crap, now we're not up there amongst the teams with elite talent that's under 25 and younger?
Yeah, it's a little bit arbitrary when you have a bunch of like 26-year-olds that are legit. You know?
You go from 2 to 21.
Yeah,
I get it's a fall, but I don't know. I don't think I'm panicking about that just yet. Because I do think Cooper Beebe is going to be good, and I'm very hopeful that Tyler Guyton, considering their track record of first-round picks, is going to come in and play well.
Yeah, yeah. If you're like a repeat offender 2-3 years in a row and you're a bottom third kind of team on a list like this, then you're going, okay, what have we restocked our own pond, so to speak, roster-wise? But 1 year like that, especially when you have a bunch of guys that could potentially be blow-up kind of candidates, like a Tyler Guyton this time next year, you might be like, dude, holy smokes, you know, he's a left tackle that is on his way to dominance. So
I mean, Deuce Vaughn.
Yeah, Deuce Vaughn, certainly, you know, the jury's still out there. It doesn't really
not issue, not
me.
An issue.
No.
All right, let's do some over-unders, Dak Prescott edition, shall we? Hmm. Courtesy of Blogging the Boys, they're setting these for us. You going true?
I'm going true.
All right, you thinking over-under, Dak Prescott, 4,050 passing yards next season.
True. Yeah, I mean, he was 4,500 yards last year.
Threw for 4,516 last year.
And the first 5 games, he was throwing it inches at a time before they figured out how to play football in 2023. So
Lamb signed?
I would assume CeeDee Lamb is signed, yes.
Yeah, you're gonna that's
do you think if CeeDee's not, he would hold out into the season?
I wouldn't put it past anybody. I mean, like I said, Dallas, if you're a player and you hold out, you generally get what you need. But the problem is
the
problem, what's that?
I was trying to think of Emmett, like what's is Emmett the last Cowboy that did that? Like held out into the season?
Into the season, I would think, yeah.
Zeke seemed prepared to, but they gave Zeke the deal prior.
Right. See, this is going to be when you watch practice and CD's not out. I'm gonna hopefully they get it done, but it is going to look like before that Amari Cooper trade a little bit out there.
And that's part of the reason why Lamb is like, dude, I would totally hold out because
I hold the leverage.
You're gonna go to practice and you're gonna be like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
We're throwing to our number 2 wide receivers like Jalen Brooks right now.
I will say he throws for over 4,500 yards just because I don't think they'll have a running game.
I think that's the point right there. Because right now, they still had Tony Pollard in what did not seem like a great rushing attack go for 1,000 yards. Are we confident they've got a 1,000-yard back right now?
Probably don't.
I don't think so.
Oh, absolutely not.
So it might turn into Dak having to throw the ball 35, 38, 40 times a game.
Yeah.
Right now, if they don't have a running game, for sure.
And the other thing, too, is when it comes to the yards, like even in the Packers game, you were getting dominated, and he still ended up throwing for 400 yards.
Yeah, the stats looked good.
Like, it was an awful, awful game, but you still end up with 400 yards. I think the yards is
the easiest you think over when it comes to these over-unders for him?
Yes, I do. Because it's 4,000.
Yeah.
You're talking about 4,000.
And that doesn't even hit. I mean, his career high is 4,900.
Yeah.
Which he hit in 2019.
He's going to – This offense is going to have to be on his back.
No doubt.
I just think the running game is not going to be – it's probably going to be non-existent unless they trade for somebody. But, they're going to – and people out there driving around or listening to us right now are saying, well, what's the difference, Brian? They put it on his back every year anyway.
Mm.
So, yeah, I think that
– the only way he doesn't hit the number of yards is if, like, for instance, this ankle issue is actually an issue where there's an injury where he's missing games. Because if he's playing – 16 of the 17 games,
he's
hitting that.
Yeah.
Okay, over under 29.5 touchdowns.
This is where it's a little bit more difficult. The touchdowns is...
Threw for 36 last year, but then 23 the year before.
But then it was like 37 the year before that.
Yeah, which was his career high.
It can kind of go...
It's been very, very volatile for him.
Yeah, the touchdowns are a tough one, man. I mean, you're definitely going to need CeeDee Lamb for this one.
Well, Cooks had what, 8 for him last year.
Yeah,
so he got some touchdowns from Cooks that he probably didn't expect.
Is Zeke going to be a touchdown vulture? Do you buy that?
I mean, so that's apparently what they missed. You know, that short yardage goal line stuff, which we know when you go into the analytics and the numbers. The stats tell you Zeke isn't that great when it comes to short yardage, but the eye test seems to tell us differently. I don't know.
I just kind of feel like that. I'm going to go under on that.
Under on the 29.5?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to lean over, but it could be like 30.
Yeah.
But it's just because of everything we talked about. Like, if they're going to have any success on offense, I think Dak is going to have to be where he's dragging this thing down the field.
How many quarterbacks threw for at least 30 touchdowns last year? Like, if you just had to guess a number.
I'll throw out 6.
I'll go 8.
It was 4.
Wow.
Mm. 4 quarterbacks. And then you had Josh Allen and Tua sitting there with 29.
Okay.
Dang, I would have... Well, I guess they did run for a lot of touchdowns. They're like Raheem Mostert, I think, by himself had damn near 20.
Yeah, they ran for a ton of touchdowns, no doubt about it.
I was surprised that Tua didn't hit that mark.
But, like, the quarterbacks that hit over on the yards, I mean, over 4,000 yards, which is basically the line for Dak, you had 10 quarterbacks hit that number. So hitting over 4,000 yards is much more doable than hitting the 30 touchdowns, generally speaking. But, I mean, even like – and it wasn't like the Chiefs and Mahomes had a great regular season last year. They kind of limped into the postseason. But even Mahomes, we're talking about 27 touchdown passes last year. Like, getting to that 30 number is a nice benchmark. But with the offensive line issues and just the weird volatility of scoring touchdowns, it could be like who scored the touchdown that day. Maybe Dak had a great game, but they ran in the 2 or 3 touchdowns or whatever. So I'd probably go under as well.
Go on the under. Okay, the last one is the interceptions, which was the talking point this time all last year. 11.5 is the over-under on interceptions for Dak. Now, 2 years ago, he had 15, and that's when everybody lost their minds. But it's worth noting that he's only thrown more than 11 interceptions twice in his entire career.
I'm going to say over, and I'm not saying it because of my hater. I just think he's going to have to throw more passes.
Mm-hmm. And honestly, I since I've gone over on the yards and the in touchdowns for the same reason, I'm going to say over as well. He's just going to put himself at risk because of the amount of attempts.
It's going to be they're maybe behind in games and they can't establish any type of a run and or they've got to keep a lead. So I just think there's going to be, you throw the ball more, there's more possibilities and more chances to throw more interceptions, and it might not be his fault, like we learned a little bit, when he threw the 15.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's not the biggest indictment on you. Josh Allen had 18 interceptions last year. Yeah. You had Patrick Mahomes with 14 last year. Tua had 14. There was 10 guys that had at least 11 last year. And I would, I guess I'd probably go on the over there as well. I like what you guys are doing.
All right, there's the Ceno Cowboys news of the evening. The I agree.
Just on the volume.
The number of attempts is going to rack that up.
Just on the volume.
And we don't think they're going to be that great of a team. How many times are they going to be milking leads this year as opposed to chasing points in the fourth quarter?
That will factor into it as well. All right, let's get into the top 10. It is the summer of sequels. We talked little movies to open up the show. What are the top 10 movie sequels of all time? And is there a movie you wish they made a sequel for? We'll do that next on The Fan. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.